This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, hello once again, and welcome to another edition of Fender Bender. My name is Tim Nicholson, and I am over the moon to have your company here for Joy's very own motoring program. Thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be here on a fabulous Melbourne afternoon. Wherever you are, we hope you are enjoying yourself too. Of course, big thanks to the gang for Critical Hit. They'll be back next week for all your gaming needs and fun times, of course. And I would also like to thank the people, the men that are in this studio with me, and that is, of course, Dan Gardner. Hi, Dan.
Just pushing it a bit, you know, man.
Well, really. Yeah.
It's very kind of you.
Thank you.
That's true.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. Antonio Kane, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here.
Is this the first time this year?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Should we have a small party to celebrate that later?
Sure.
We could have one now.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. If I knew how to use the, you know, celebratory sounds on the machines in here, I would absolutely do it right now. How are you? Are you well? Have you been busy?
I'm well, yes. Been very busy in the world of cars, but you know that.
It never stops, does it?
No. Never stops,
and neither do we. And that's fine, I say. It's totally fine. It's been a big week, of course, and we've got a lot to get through today. So everyone in the studio, just shut up.
Can't we do a bit more small talk? I quite like that bit.
Okay, sure.
You know,
got anything to ask?
Oh, you know, I don't. Well, no, it's got to be. It's just. I'm forcing it now. It's got to be natural.
Oh, okay. So.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dan.
No, it's not going to work. But you know, next week let's try and just do a little bit more small talk.
Okay.
It's quite. You know, we're friends. You know, we're friends, and I think people can hear that. You know, that comes across. It's really nice. We've got a very warm relationship. You know. See, look, now I'm not doing small talk. I'm just talking bollocks now.
That's true, but you are also very good at it.
Thank you. Thank you. Really? Don't know.
Pretty sure you do it with a lovely accent as well.
Is that all I've got? Is that all I am to you?
Pretty much.
The token POM.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll settle for that.
We need some cultural diversity. So.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly, guys. But we're going to talk about a lot of things today. Tesla have had some big news in the last 24 hours. And we're also going to look at an interesting segment. We've looked at it a couple of times, but there's a real little battle heating up in the compact SUV segment between Honda's new HR-V and the Mazda CX-3. And we are going to talk about that very, very soon. And we might even determine a winner, you know, because that's what we do, basically.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Bring it on. I'm very keen to do that.
And you two, you two witches, have... I'm kidding. I say it with love. You two guys have driven Holden's latest addition to their range, which is the return of the Astra, which for you know, people that have grown up in Australia, it's a very exciting thing to come back. It's a great nameplate to have. We're going to have a chat about the latest Astra and what it means to Holden as well. So
yes, please do. It's an important car. Let's talk a little bit more about that later.
You talk about it later.
All right.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah, small talk face. I don't even know what that means. I don't know. I'm losing my mind because the weather's nice in Melbourne and I'm not really used to it.
That would have been good small talk.
Oh, there you go.
See?
Weather.
Everyone loves weather.
It's true. Everyone does love weather.
Especially this weather.
Yeah,
right?
It's amazing.
Too late, though. You see, we could have done this before. We're going to have to move on next. Cars.
It's true. It is cars. And we're going to go straight to China. Now, the last week was the Shanghai Motor Show, guys. Very exciting time. It's gone from, you know, not a very big show to one of the biggest on the planet. And, lots of international car makers use it, obviously, to show off their wares that are going to, you know, go on sale in Europe and all these other areas. But obviously, it's a big one for the Chinese manufacturers who are just too numerous to mention. Now, on this show, we've mentioned before the Landwind X7.
Winner of the International Award for the Stupidest Name.
Well, it is up there. It is up there, the Landwind. Not as bad as what? Not Big Dong? Big Horn. Sorry, the Big Horn.
Dong. Big Dong. That's way better.
I've got something on my mind, haven't I?
Clearly.
But the Landwind X7, if you'll remember, was the absolute 100% ripoff of the Range Rover Evoque. Yep. I believe it's actually pronounced Evoque, by the way.
Oh, no.
What?
No,
who
I know.
Does that?
Somebody corrected somebody recently, I overheard.
Somebody overheard someone saying something to someone else.
They say it like this. is pronounced Evoque.
So I see what you're saying, Tony.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So you're a hipster, weren't they?
Yeah. It's true. Look, and the Evoque is a beautiful looking car. That's that little chunky little SUV they released a few years ago. And this Landwind X7 is identical.
It's a spitting image. Let's face it. Inside and out.
Isn't it ridiculous?
Yeah.
But what's amazing is that the Land Rover executives at the Shanghai Motor Show just kind of went, yeah, what are you going to do? And they are not going to pursue it. They're not going to try any legal action. They have just gone, well, look, you know, there's just not much we can do. So good luck to them.
More interestingly, though, there's been some Australian involvement in that car.
Mm. There has.
Isn't that weird?
Isn't that bizarre?
So on the one hand, actually, we were talking about this on the show last week and we were slating it and saying how, you know, how naughty it was of them to do it.
Mm.
And lo and behold, actually, the Australians are involved. It's a company called, is it Primcar?
Yeah, Primcar.
Hmm. Yeah, they have been involved in tuning the suspension, I believe.
I think so.
So, there you go. The ironic twist in the story is that although we slated it and criticised it, actually, there's some quite good Australian involvement in it.
It's good to see that Australia is benefiting from copyright infringement.
I think so.
So, basically, mercenaries were just jumping on anything where there's a bit of cash to be made.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that doesn't stop it being a really bad car.
Well, who knows? We haven't driven it.
I know.
Look,
you just know. It'll cost 27 cents to buy it, and it will explode whenever you touch a curb.
It's crazy, though. Speaking of price, it's something like a difference of $50,000 between the Landwind and the real deal Range Rover Evoque.
Right. If that doesn't get alarm bells ringing, then nothing will.
Yeah.
Why is there a 50 grand difference?
Well, it's because they didn't have to pay any money to, you know, come up with a unique design or anything.
They have saved a lot of cash in the design.
Yeah, pretty crazy, actually.
Yes.
Now, moving on from the Chinese show, we've found out this week as well that Mercedes-Benz are going to step into another niche. If you can believe it, they, you know, they're not big on that, are they, those Germans? They're stepping into another niche, and apparently they're going to build an Audi TT rival. Based on the little A-Class hatch.
They can't help themselves, can they?
They cannot help themselves.
First, it was the GLE Coupe to go ahead with head-to-head with the BMW X6. Now they're doing the GLC Coupe, which is going head-to-head with the X4. And now they're going to go Audi TT rival. Mm. Whatever next?
I don't know.
What else is there?
Maybe a Evoque copy? Maybe?
I think it's on the cards.
I hate pronouncing it, though.
It's horrible.
Let's forget about it.
Yeah,
I think forget what I said. Yeah. Okay.
Evoque. I'm not going to.
Yeah, it's an Evoque.
And it's not an Echo Boost. No, Echo Sport.
It's one of them.
It's an I don't even know. I've confused myself.
Oh, who isn't? Who isn't?
But then we get into the treacherous territory of international pronunciations. Like, you know, Michelin or Michelin. Weber carburetors or Weber carburetors.
Oh.
You know?
Shut
Porsche
up.
Or Porsche.
Citroën or Citroën.
Oh, I hate it when people do that one. That is so awful. Ugh. Anyway, sorry, I digress slightly.
We really did a little bit, but that's fine. Anyway, this could be exciting. It's going to be based on the next version of the underpinnings of the A-Class, CLA, GLA, that whole family.
Mm-hmm. What a sporty number. We like a sporty
and
number,
a
don't
cheaper
we?
Cheaper sporty number. Like it's going to be, it'll undercut the SLK or whatever that's going to be called in a couple of years. Anyway, exciting news. Possibly.
Yeah, I think so. Possibly. We know nothing else about it at this stage. We don't know pricing. Exact pricing. We know it's possibly going to be a little bit cheaper. Mercedes are good at sports cars. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. They can't make a manual gearbox for love nor money,
really?
But they can do a sports car. Oh. And I can only see this being, you know, a bit of healthy competition. To a degree, TT has monopolised a little bit.
TT's got...
when you say it like that... It was a little bit like Tizzy.
Well, you know, it's kind of intentional. But the TT's got, you know, a little bit enjoy its monopoly on that particular segment. They're talking about like an introduction of 2019, I think.
Oh, right. That's ages
Mercedes
away.
Mercedes thing, so.
Audi's not worried just yet then.
No.
Goodo. Well, some other exciting news, guys. So do you remember the Aston Martin DBX concept? I think it was at Geneva show.
Are you seriously saying this is exciting news?
Now, you can just calm down, little man.
I haven't said anything yet. I'm just implying something.
Okay, well, I'm going to announce that, because no one else has announced it ever in the world, apparently. No, that's not true.
You heard it here first.
Exactly.
Kind of under scoop.
That's it. Aston Martin, the DBX, their sexy crossover that they had at the Geneva Motor Show, is going ahead. It will be built, and it will have an Aston Martin badge. And I would like to introduce a rant from Dan Gardner. I'm just predicting one. I mean, I can feel it in your face.
Well, yeah.
Feeling his face? What?
Yeah, sorry, is that making you feel slightly uncomfortable when Tim leans over and gently caresses my visage? All right, okay. Now, I'm going to sound like a broken record here because I always whinge about SUVs, and particularly when companies who are prestigious and more commonly known for making sporty, lovely models suddenly decide they've lost their mind and they're going to make an SUV. Because, in my opinion, it taints, tarnishes all credibility for that brand. Aston Martin, you say that to someone and they instantly think of James Bond and sports cars, loud, lovely sounding convertibles, big V8s, V12s. And from now on, they're going to be going, oh, yeah, Aston Martin, that's that company that used to make sports cars but now makes an SUV.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
My mum drives one of them.
Oh, and Aston Martin.
Dropped me off to school.
Yeah, now, come on. This is not an SUV as we know it. It's just a slightly higher riding car.
Which has absolutely no purpose whatsoever.
But it looks hot.
Lamborghini Urus, same thing.
Well, that might not be going ahead yet. We don't know about that.
One can only hope. Oh. Jaguar with their F-Pace. Ugh. Rolls-Royce and Bentley, they're doing one. Yeah. Everyone's at it. What are you up to, guys? Come on, this is just stupid. You
I don't know.
Damage your brand.
They're a business trying to make money. What are you up to?
I am...
He's protecting the purity of automobiles.
Thank you for jumping in there, Tony, because I had nothing. I'll be honest. I had nothing to come
back to. I
thought
you were about to, like, punch your microphone. There's a lot of rage in you.
It does get very heated here in the studio.
To sing the other side of the argument, they are only responding to customer demand. And I was talking to Land Rover recently at the New York Motor Show, and they said, Jaguar Land Rover, when talking about the F-Pace SUV, they said, we wouldn't make this if we couldn't sell it.
Right.
And people are asking for them.
A lot of people.
People around the world like driving SUVs.
Yeah. Sometimes the customer just is not right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, exactly.
I agree.
Yeah. No, well, coming from a customer service background years ago, I totally agree with
you. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, moving right along, news on supermodels, guys.
Yes, please.
Yes, well, as one of your best friends, actually, we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I'm talking about Jodie Kidd, former supermodel Jodie Kidd, who Dan is intimate with.
Oh, stop. You know, it's just... Oh, hang on, sorry, she's ringing now. Jodie, I'll call you back. Sorry, lad. Thanks, darling. Bye.
I love that you picked up your phone to do that, even though it's radio.
All right, shut up. I need a prop. I need a, you know, I need the sight gags. They're important.
That's true. For us, anyway. But look, Jodie Kidd, so she's been rumoured to be taking over from Jeremy Clarkson as the host of Top Gear. And this week, they were spotted having lunch together.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Dun, dun, dun.
Don't decide anything yet. Don't jump the gun. Now, Jodie Kidd and Jeremy Clarkson are friends, so they might just have been going for a drink.
Yeah, sure, buddy. Whatever you say.
Are you suggesting that the Daily Mail would make this up?
Well, absurd.
Because just next to that article was one about how she's just been granted, or her husband has been granted, a quickie divorce from her after just 4 months because she's been unreasonable or displaying unreasonable behaviour.
That's because of what
Daily
happened.
Daily Mail.
No, that's because of what happened between us in New York.
Oh, yes, when she kissed you on the cheek.
Yes, because any woman getting with Dan is... that's unreasonable.
Mad.
Exactly.
That's
unreasonable.
Absolutely
exactly.
Mad.
Completely. Yeah. Anyway, we've got a lot more coming up. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9.
And you were very nearly listening to a tirade about the Daily Mail in that little break there.
Tony likes a bit of gossip every now and then, doesn't he?
It's
don't
a
we
guilty
all.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like gossip, though? I challenge anyone to text us and say, I don't like gossip or gossiping.
I don't like gossip, but did you hear about somebody who does like gossip? Oh, my God.
That was very nicely done.
Now, guys, moving across to America today. Well, it was actually yesterday. Tesla, big news from Tesla. They're moving into the energy sector. Can you absolutely believe it?
Can, actually.
Yeah, I
Elon Musk is a pretty clever dude. And
space travel, electric cars,
PayPal.
Saving the world.
Kind of revolutionizing everything he touches.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So basically...
weird, though. I'm excited about a battery pack.
It's not the sexiest thing you've been excited about.
No.
Look, so basically what they're doing is they've set up a company called Tesla Energy. And my understanding is that... so you can buy storage systems or batteries for homes that are charged using solar power from panels on the roof. Is that right?
Correct. And I think you can also use them to... like, you can charge them on off-peak power.
Mm.
So overnight, when you're asleep, your battery will kick in. It's operating on a timer or something. And then it'll juice up. And then during the day, it'll just discharge its energy.
Say juice up again.
I also said discharge. Hey. Do you want to talk about the Audi titty again?
You are fantastic.
Anyway, so basically you can power your house during the day using off-peak energy at off-peak prices. It's a great idea. It's not a super original idea. People have been toying with the idea for so long, but no one's really productionized it and commercialized it.
Yep.
And Tesla's about to do that.
And could this be my like sole energy source for my house, or is it more of a backup?
I think for some people it certainly could be. Hmm. You know, most people spend the majority of their day, certainly work weekday, at work.
Yeah.
Their house isn't consuming much energy. It's just a fridge running.
And yeah.
Other stuff. So yeah, you know, if you're not using heaps of power during the night when you're home.
Yeah.
You could.
I have a disco ball continuously turning. I wonder if the battery is enough to sustain that.
You may need to get the higher capacity power pack.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But
What's interesting about it, though, it fills that gap because everyone said, you know, it's fabulous that they've got these zero emissions cars, that, you know, Tesla are doing this. They're really changing things. They're, you know, setting up their own supercharger network. But the argument is always comes back to, yeah, but it's being like that car is being charged using fossil fuels. So this is kind of, you know, if you're only charging it where one of these packs is, you're taking yourself off that grid as such.
Yeah. That's it. The whole charging cars off coal energy is a valid criticism, but it also makes the assumption that we will always be generating power using coal. And that's not true.
Yeah,
of course.
Technology like this is going to ease the transition into true green energy, and it's exciting, you know.
Absolutely, because it's a question of infrastructure, and to use a cliche, it's chicken and egg. So what Tesla is doing is going, well, we're going to give you the ability to do this when eventually governments get online and or get on board and give you the way to charge this. And so someone has to take the first step, and Tesla always seem to be the people to take the first step. We're seeing it in other car companies, like Hyundai have recently commissioned the first hydrogen filling station in Sydney, because, you know, the governments aren't doing it, so they had to. So these are little steps that the car companies are taking into their own hands to get things rolling. Because otherwise we stagnate and we never do anything.
Absolutely.
And hopefully this would be the start of something, because I don't know, maybe I'm being paranoid, but you could see a future where Tesla just runs everything. Every green thing in the world is Tesla.
It's going to be Google, Apple and Tesla, and they own everything.
Yeah.
I'd probably be okay with that. You know, they seem pretty benevolent.
Oh, okay. Tesla I would. The other two I'm a little bit worried about.
Tesla I would trust.
Mm. Wow, careful.
You and Elon Musk sitting in a tree.
Well, I really like, you know, 1984, the novel.
you were also
my vision of utopia.
Okay, sure. You were a big fan of Model S as well when you drove it from memory.
Oh, yeah. Massive fanboy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Who couldn't like? I haven't spoken to a single journalist who's driven that car and not liked it enormously.
Yeah.
It really is the future of motoring. And now they're going to do another model, the Model 3, isn't
Model 3, yeah.
Which is going to be
like a hatchback thingy.
Hatchback and very affordable, apparently. Well, not here, because everything's expensive here. But in America, they say, I think, about $30,000.
Yeah.
That is seriously going to worry all the old oil burners out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Tesla energy thing, though, I mean, is this just a North American thing for the moment?
I think they're talking about an introduction into Australia sometime in 2016.
Okay.
Nothing's been locked in, but that's the sort of timing they're thinking of.
Yeah.
And there'd be fools like not to bring it out here.
Yeah.
We've got a developing renewable energy sector. It's not getting much love from the government, but things like this, private sector is stepping in where the government isn't.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Are you suggesting that the current government is behind what the rest of the country wants?
Oh, I'm behind not the eight really rules. Saying that. I am. Yeah. Going to go out on a limb and say, yeah.
Outrageous.
Well, they could be doing more.
That's true. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens as well, because there's that school of thought, and Elon Musk has come out and said hydrogen is nonsense, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got those other car companies like Toyota, big hitters like Toyota and Hyundai, and that's the direction they're going in. That, which is why I think Toyota and Lexus aren't doing any like plug-in hybrids, because they're like, well, we're just going to go from hybrid to hydrogen eventually. So
to what, sorry?
Hybrid.
Hydrogen.
Hey, girl. Sure. Just in here. yeah, but, you know, that's going to be an interesting battle to see what ends up being the mainstream technology.
And in speaking to Hyundai, who do have the hydrogen-powered iX35, they say everything is fair game at the moment.
Okay.
And you have to have everything out there, people developing different technologies, to see which one reigns supreme.
Yeah.
You know, if everyone just said electric cars are the way to go, then we'd never know. You'd constantly be asking the question, would hydrogen work? Would hybrid work? You know, and so I think it's good that each of the companies are picking their favourite and they're running with it. Not everyone, there can be only one, like the Highlander. one will prevail, and that's the way it happens. It's just natural evolution.
That's true. Now, moving on, guys, back home, back here in Australia.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
It's a lovely country, isn't it?
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
Good weather. Yeah. Speaking of.
Most of the time. Well, it wasn't earlier this week on Tuesday when I went to Altona.
Oh, the lovely Altona. I like to call it the Melbourne Riviera.
Well, it's a lovely beach there, actually. I've got family there. It's quite a lovely area. And sounds like someone's being snobby over there.
No, not at all. I love it. It's great. All right, I was. I thought, you think of Altona, you just think of the sprawling industrial.
And that's the thing, unfortunately, because the little pocket of Altona is really lovely, but then you get to the industrial bit, and it is terrifying. Well, not terrifying, it's just, like, not nice. But anyway, whatever. Let's come back to it. So I was there going to the Toyota factory because the final Camry built in Australia, started production. This week, and they had a traditional kind of Japanese line-off ceremony, and they had some drummers, like Japanese drummers.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And there was one of the drummers was really buff and wasn't wearing much.
So wow.
Everyone else was looking at the car being revealed, and something I was looking at something else. Yeah.
Something for
you are really hopeless, Tim.
Pretty useless. And then I told him he did a good job afterwards. Anyway, whatever. That's
and slapped relevant. Him on the bum.
No, I wouldn't do that in public.
So you got his number, right?
No. But it was really exciting to be there. I've never been to, that's not true. I've been to a factory, but to be to a factory in Australia where there's so many people that are really passionate about what they do that are obviously going to lose their jobs in a couple of years. And they had, the head of the company, Dave Butner, and a couple of, the usual politicians rolling up and talking about how important it is. And it was really interesting to see because the Dave Butner, who runs Toyota, was very emotional about coming to an end, but more emotional about the work and the effort that his employees had put into this final Camry. It was really lovely to see, and the place was crowded with all of the employees, and they were all really chuffed with the job they've done, and it was quite interesting actually.
I mean, that's just the way that a lot of Japanese companies are. There's that inherent pride in what they do, and when the announcement that Toyota was going to pull up stumps in Australia, Toyota himself came to Australia to make the announcement. Well, that's a really personal thing to do.
I think so.
And I think of the three that we're losing, I'd say Toyota is really the one that is probably hurting the most emotionally about it. If you can talk about a massive multinational company being emotional. But they do. There is a pride there. And obviously that other, failure is very embarrassing in Japan. It is everywhere. Tell me about it. I've had enough. So to be so public about it is going to be painful for them. Yeah. And I think that's an admission of, maturity.
I think so. I think so for sure. And they keep, talking about how it's going to be the best Camry ever. And I suggest that's probably not that difficult to achieve that. But it actually looks really good in the flesh. It's much more appealing than the current model. And, it'll be reliable. And I guess the thing is with it, and I want to see what you guys think. Everyone's talking about, obviously, when manufacturing ends in this country in a couple of years' time, that sales will change and all that kind of thing. I don't think the Camry sales are going to go down that much. It's just such a popular nameplate. Do you think that people care where I think they care where their Commodore is built, their Falcon is built. I don't think they care where the Camry is built.
I think Tony.
I'd agree.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that sort of, I don't know whether there's a particularly passionate buyer of Toyotas. Now, that sounds very unfair, but we have to acknowledge that all the different car manufacturers have their critical point of difference. Toyota is for people, and forgive me, this is a sweeping statement. There are exceptions, obviously, to the Toyota range, but, 86 is a great one.
Yeah.
Great example. People generally buy a Toyota Camry, at least, because it is a necessary evil, and it's simply something for getting from A to B. Now, there's not a single person sat in the studio who would agree with that, but Toyota recognised that they are those people. So I think you're absolutely right, Tim. Ford and Holden owners are very passionate because it's an Australian brand. Toyota, I don't know. People will just say, "Oh, it's still going to be a Toyota, isn't it? I don't care where it's come from, really."
Yeah.
I mean, they might not have the passion of the average Holden owner, but they've certainly got loyalty.
Absolutely, yeah, no doubt.
Definite loyalty to the brand. Yeah. And that's why it sells in the numbers that it does every year.
Yep,
every year.
Yeah, loyalty coming out the wazoo, you could say.
I quite like the look of the. I think it's probably the. I was going to say pretty. It's not pretty. It's the nicest looking Camry they've ever done.
No, and I think next to the Orion. Anything's pretty.
Oh, bless it.
Oh, dear. There's a facelift coming for that thing, but, what's that thing about lipstick on a pig or something?
Yeah.
Is that the saying? Anyway.
There's also glitter and turds.
Yes.
You could use that one.
I'm familiar with that.
I'd like to see a glittery pig with lipstick.
Not the poo part.
We'll skip over that.
Can roll a pig in lipstick. Oh, God. Mixed metaphors.
We're just going to have to move on from this immediately. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim, Dan and Tony here with you on a Saturday afternoon. It is 4:31.
Oh, no, stop that. We're not Nova.
What's that? What's Nova?
Yeah, well, exactly. We're not a commercial station. We are a community station with quality presenters and guests.
That's true. And if you would like...
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just going
to... The other shows have quality presenters. All right, okay. Yeah. And you should, if you have not done this already... Dear listener, become a member, which you can do by calling 1300-JOY-949 or going to joy.org.au and filling out some forms and giving some money. And I totally think you should. It looks amazing on you being a member of Joy. Okay.
I have to do that. Actually, I need to renew my membership.
Well, good. I support that.
Do we like get something if people join while we're on air?
No, but if you do join while you're on air, we will give you a shout out on air.
Okay, done.
Yeah. All right. And you could do a small dance if you wanted, but they won't see it.
I'm unlikely to do that. I'm not the smoothest mover.
Oh, dear.
And what you can also do, if you want more immediate satisfaction, you can just send us a text message or an email, 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Let us know what you're driving, or if you have any questions regarding car stuff, then we are happy to perhaps answer.
We would love to hear from you at all times. Now, guys, we were just talking about the Australian automotive industry, and we're just going to keep on that little theme just for a little minute longer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think I see where you're going with this.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to change tack and screw you over.
Oh, yeah? you're such a meanie. You always do this.
Witch. That's what I am. Now, you guys were lucky enough to drive the new Holden Astra and Cascada. This week, which is not a German dance act, it is a car. And now this is part of Holden's next wave of models that, you know, post 2017, when they no longer build cars here, they're going to change their model range and they're going to release, I don't know, some obscene amount of cars, like 24 cars in the next 5 years or something like that. New models or updated models. Mm-hmm. They've got one of the oldest ranges out there at the moment, I would suggest. And this is the first kind of salvo in them, you know, rebranding, for want of a better term, with European models, and also marking the return of the Astra nameplate to the Holden Fold, which was a very popular car in a number of different iterations. It was a rebadged Nissan Pulsar back in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
Then it was an Opel Astra after that, and then it disappeared, and now it's back.
So we have seen these cars already, really.
Yeah. Well, yes.
They're new, but they're not new.
Yeah. You know? Precisely. So they were available previously, as Tim previously said, as an Opel. You could buy one. It came straight from Europe. It was right-hand drive, but it was an Opel Astra. There was a couple others that were available here at the same time. We had the Insignia. Then, if you don't know, Opel went belly up in Australia. Pulled up stumps only about 12 months after it gone live here. And the Astra was gone. But now it's back, and it's effectively the same car, just wearing the Lion badge.
Okay.
So we've got the GTC, the GTC Sport, and the VXR, and also the Cascada, as you rightly say, Tim. So we've got this range of European-built cars that, by 2020, will comprise 30% of the Holden range, will be Euro-sourced.
But they haven't told us what else yet.
We only know Insignia is coming back. Beyond that, we don't know.
So they're being guarded with their future product portfolio.
Yes, because as Holden always infuriatingly says, we do not speak about future product.
No.
But it's annoying because they don't talk about 0-100 times. They don't talk about maximum speeds. They don't talk about their competitors. They don't talk about their sales predictions. They don't talk about anything. What the hell do they talk about?
Exactly.
It's almost like they don't want people to be interested in their brand.
Yeah.
Or be excited about what's coming.
Well, they can't help with this one, because I will go on record as saying I'm a little bit excited about the Astra.
I can see that.
I think it's a great little package. Now, Tony, you and I drove this. We were both on the launch of the Astra. We both drove it. And what did you reckon?
Well, you know, I've driven them all as Opels previously. Mm. And yeah, you know, they're good cars. They're old. They're right at the end of their lifespan. Mm. They're going to be replaced probably next year with an all-new model. But look, they're still pretty good. Mm. There's nothing really wrong with what they do, and they're priced quite competitively.
I think that's something that obviously Opel had problems with, was that people weren't willing to pay more than a Golf for an Astra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they've kind of reeled that in a little bit.
Yeah, they've realigned it. Opel was brought in as kind of like a, you know, GM's refined European offshoot, you know, targeting Volkswagen. It didn't quite work out. Now it's a Holden. It's more affordable, more equipment.
So it's between $1,800 and $5,000 cheaper than the equivalent Opel when it was here. And the way they've done that is because they have no cost of setting up a whole new brand in Australia, which of course cost a lot, and they had to dilute the cost of that across their range when it was an Opel. And also, you know, they've got the entire Holden range to back it up as well. So, yeah, I think it starts at around about $27,000 for the GTC. That's got a 1.6 turbo and 125 kilowatts, unless you go for the manual. And then they boost the power up to 147 kilowatts. It makes a huge difference, doesn't it, Tony?
Absolutely, yeah. Big difference in how it drives. So if you want power and you want, you know, a bit more go for the manual.
And the chassis is fantastic. That was my favourite thing about the Astra. I thought it drove beautifully around some sort of winding roads. It was really good fun. Felt very light on its feet. It was genuinely a good little package to drive. Now, the only thing that will put people off is the Astra is available only as a three-door. And three-doors don't typically do very well in Australia. So they're going for markets like Hyundai Veloster, Kia Coupe. So three-door sporty little models like that. And look, I think it goes up against them very competitively. I think the price is right. It's a great-looking thing. You know, we're talking about it getting to the end of its life, but you wouldn't tell it from the looks. It looks really good. It's a genuinely cute little thing.
It's a pretty little thing, isn't it?
Would I be out of line if I suggested it was kind of like the Kylie Minogue of its segment?
A compliment indeed.
In that, getting on a little bit, but still gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's very complimentary.
Who doesn't like Kylie?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
If you are a complete petrol head, like all of us are, you can opt for the just under $40,000 VXR version, which gets a 2-litre turbo, 1,000-inch wheels, a very sporty interior, and 206 kilowatts and 400 newton metres. And Tony and I drove this on a circuit, and
Not at circuit, the bar. No.
That would be weird. That would have been good. Yeah. That would have been excellent. I'd be well up for that if anyone's listening and can arrange that. I'd love to do that. We drove it on the circuit, and that's the best place for this car. And I'm going to go out there. I'm going to make a significant statement.
Here we go.
I would have this over the Sirocco R if I was going to be doing any kind of day-to-day maniac driving. If I was going to spend a lot of time on a circuit...
This is the Volkswagen Sirocco R.
Sorry, yes. I would rather have the Holden Astra VXR.
Here, here.
Really?
Okay, right. Okay.
I'm clapping.
Thank you.
There we go.
Totally agree. It's so much more affordable than the Volkswagen.
Yep.
It undercuts it by quite a lot.
You get more power.
More power, more torque. It drives incredibly well. It's super quick, especially in a racetrack.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just delivers everything that the Sirocco does and then some.
Yeah.
For less money.
And I think the thing looks great. The Sirocco looks wonderful. There's no doubt about that. But this is every bit as delightful to behold. And it's just, and great engine note as well. I thought it sounded fantastic. You know, just and very satisfying. It gets bigger brakes, so it's, you know, can handle itself on the circuit. You can give it a real good punishing. And
We are still talking about a car here.
Come on.
Now you guys obviously need to pull your pants up about this car. But let's move on immediately to the Cascada.
Okay, all right.
So this is their first convertible since the unloved Tigra, I think. Is that right?
Astra Twin Top.
There was an Astra convertible.
I see. Yeah.
But the Tigra was a folding hardtop. This is a genuine. They've given it what they call a 3-layer acoustic roof.
Oh, they always talk about this.
What is that exactly?
It's fabric, guys. Yeah. It's just fabric.
Yeah.
Call it what
it's basically a tent. You're putting a tent over yourself.
Yeah. So this is the convertible. It's a genuine 4-seat convertible. It's 2 doors, 4 seats. The rear seats are just about usable.
Did you sit in them?
I did. Now we did this test, and my head does touch the roof in the back.
Okay.
So it is a little bit cozy, but there's an obvious solution to that. You just take the roof off.
Oh, that's right.
It's convertible.
Yeah. Go topless.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now
and then take the roof down.
Dynamically speaking.
Sorry.
Dynamically speaking, I was not so impressed with this car.
Right.
And there's a main reason for that. It weighs over 1,700 kilos.
What?
Yeah. So it is a beefy number. It's around about 240 kilos heavier than the equivalent Astra, which is
a lot
of weight. Yeah, and you can really feel it because it gets the same 1.6-litre turbocharged Ecotec engine. Because it's an auto, it only makes the 125 kilowatts, not the 147 that the manual Astra gets.
So she's wheezy.
And you can really feel it, unfortunately. But I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, because people who buy this kind of car don't generally drive around, because the main reason is if you drive irresponsibly, everyone can see you. and then they send people around to.
That's a good point, actually.
So, look, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's still quite good in the twisty bits, if you can get it up to speed ever. And I think it looks quite charming. Again, yep. Comes down to the value thing. It's a pretty competitive price at around...
It's 41?
40, yeah, 41, 42. 99. You can get... Yeah. There's a very limited edition of 50 called the Launch Edition, which yep. get... monstrous wheels and very special leather interiors and a few other bits and pieces, and that goes mm-hmm. up to about $45,000. Yep. So yeah, it's very competitively priced if that's your kind of thing.
But so let me ask you, boys: is this the direction that Holden's going to go in with at least a third of their lineup? Is this a good start? And what do we think we can expect next from Europe?
Well, I think we kind of need to see how this plays out. What else they bring in? Whether they bring in the Opel Corsa as a Barina replacement, and we previously had an Opel Corsa badged as a Barina,
which was a great Barina,
which was a great car. Yeah, absolutely. And then they replaced it with a not so great one. If they bring that in, then that's great. That'd be fantastic. If they bring in Insignia as a Commodore replacement, I don't know. Insignia is okay, but it's not.
Tim, what did you think of really. The... You drove the Opel Insignia OPC, and the OPC is the hot one. It's the equivalent of the VXR that we get here. What did you think? I thought you were quite... You quite like that car.
I did like it. It was pretty brutally powerful, and it looks, I think, the Insignia again, which is at the end of its life cycle, absolutely is a gorgeous looking car. Absolutely. I think it's the best looking midsizer out there. But as Tony said, I kind of agree. It's like, whether it's a Commodore replacement, I don't know. And there are so many theories amongst everyone in the media and fans out there of Holden of what the hell's going to replace the Commodore. Again, Holden have said nothing. So we're all just kind of going, oh, I think it might be that. I think it might be that. It's like, no one actually knows, though. So whether it's something from America, like a bigger thing, maybe based on a real drive platform, whether it's something from Europe, I don't know. But I see this as a really good thing, though, that they're opening themselves up to Europe and maybe that Korean... sourcing that they've relied on so heavily in the last decade. That's they'll still source cars from Korea, but it's not going to be the number one.
I know we have to go to a break shortly, but I'm going to give you a very quick piece of fender bender advice.
Tell me.
Now we've got the Astra range back, there's going to be absolutely no issue servicing or getting parts for an Opel Astra. And if you're one of those people that bought an Astra OPC, Opel Astra OPC or one of the GTCs, good on you, because that now is a very unique car. If you are thinking of getting a little sporty hatchback and you want a new one, then go and get the new Holden Astra. But if you're after that kind of thing and you want something used, get an Opel, because there's now absolutely no reason to not own one. And you would be one of those handful of people in Australia that have one of the few Opel Astras.
That's true. Yeah.
No disadvantage to owning one, and you could stand at the bar and say, my car's pretty rare, even though it's only a couple of years old.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Fender Bender advice.
There you go. You hear it first. You heard it first? I don't know what I'm saying. This is Fender Bender. We've got lots more coming up, so make sure you stick around. Now, boys, there's been a bit of a debate of late that is great, and I'm going to go to a gate. About little disapproving noises coming from Tony.
I was shaking my head.
You were the
listeners out there.
That's true. Subcompact SUVs, tiny little crossovers. What's the point of them? We know Dan's opinion on most SUVs. But the fact remains, we have to drive them. And you know what? This is a segment that is growing like you wouldn't believe. Like, it is just like wildfire. Every brand either has a subcompact SUV based on a light car usually, or they've got one coming up. So there's two big hitters that have been released in the last couple of months, I think, and that is, of course, Mazda's new CX-3 based on the Mazda 2, and the Honda HR-V, which is resurrecting a name from the 90s, good or bad thing, who knows, based on the Jazz. These are two very different cars, and appealing to potentially a different audience. Boys, we've all driven each of them. They have their good points, bad points. What do we think of the CX-3, I guess, Tony?
Okay, CX-3. My opinion about the CX-3 is that it's not an SUV. It's a fraudulent claim. They shouldn't call it an SUV, because it is basically a Mazda 2 with a larger engine and a slight suspension lift.
Which is what all SUVs are.
Well, I mean, people think of SUVs and they think of something practical, go anywhere, you know, that kind of outdoorsy image. I wouldn't take CX-3 anywhere off tarmac. It's just a road car. It just kind of looks like it might be an SUV. Mm.
Which is what all SUVs are. unless you fork out proper hard cash and buy a Range Rover, all SUVs are that. They promise to go off-road and no one actually ever does. And even if you did, they probably wouldn't.
Sure. Okay. They're all like that. I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah.
But with the HR-V, mm-hmm. you get a car that is larger than the CX-3, mm-hmm. more practical, bigger boot, more comfortable, maybe not as quick, but who buys an SUV to be quick, right? Mm. The HR-V is more deserving of the SUV label than the CX-3 by a long shot.
Do you think, now my suggestion is that the HR-V meets the brief of a compact SUV better than the CX-3. The CX-3, I found, I love driving it. I'm in one this week. It's a manual 2-litre petrol mid-spec car, and it's a terrifically fun car to drive. All Mazdas are. They do that very, very well. The whole zoom thing, they've locked and loaded. Good for them. There's a lot to like about the CX-3. The pricing is spot on. Yep. It looks brilliant. And again, it's fun to drive. But you open the boot, and it's the same kind of boot size as maybe a Mazda 2. Mm. Driving the HR-V, I keep pinching myself going, this is based on a Jazz? How is that even possible?
So much more different, doesn't it?
Just hugely different. And I'm right with you there, I think, on that one, Tony. I think it looks just as good. Mm-hmm. I think it's got way more room. I think it's great to drive. It's got a CVT, which Dan is absolutely going to have something to say about. but I feel like I would be going for the HR-V. I think it's and what I love about it is that it's Honda's back. You know, Honda is back finally after years of middling offerings. This is a terrific car, and people are buying both of these cars like hotcakes. But
yeah,
this one, Dan Gardner.
Oh, I totally agree with you guys. Yeah, like I couldn't agree more. What a wonderful SUV this thing is.
Yeah,
not. I'm afraid to say you're both completely wrong.
Oh, okay.
Didn't see that coming.
So, no. SUVs are pointless. So, why try and make them better at being pointless, which is exactly what you're saying. You're saying it's high riding and it's comfortable and it's boring and you can look past it. We all know SUVs have no purpose, and Honda has made its HR-V more purposelessness. By making it better at being an SUV. What Mazda have done is they said, well, people like driving cars, but then they go and buy an SUV, which doesn't drive like a car. So they said, well, let's make an SUV that doesn't do any of the things that people think they're going to do in it, but don't, and make it drive better on the road. And that's exactly what the CX-3 does. It looks great. It drives better than any other subcompact SUV out there. And let's think about who they're targeting with this. If you have a genuine, you know, family and a genuine family, as opposed to
my
one of those
fake
pretentious
family.
Families. Yeah. You know, if you have lots of kit and kids to lug around, you're not going to get a subcompact SUV anyway. You're going to go for the mid-sized ones. So what the person that buys a subcompact SUV are couples, singles, you know, young people who want sporty cars. They want to throw, you know, a few bags in the boot to go away and some luggage or an Esky. And who cares then how big the boot is? It looks better. It drives better. It appeals to people who like to drive cars more but are still stupid and buy SUVs. And that is why the CX-3 is better. It's the best of all the subcompacts, without question.
Now, Tony, I don't know if you know this, but I've had Dan's microphone down that whole time. No one has heard anything, so we were right, we win. Oh, thank you, Dan, for being here though.
I will say though that in some ways I kind of do wish, and you touched on this just at the end of your bit about it, Tim, Honda need all the help they can get. Mazda are selling squillions of cars in Australia. They don't need any help. Honda, please just sell a few. So I guess what I'm saying is, just out of charity, buy the Honda.
Yeah,
if you want the best one though, buy the CX-3.
Oh wow, there you go. Well, bit of argy bargy here, and Tony and I are right. So
that's the important thing.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
That's what you take away then.
Yeah,
that's good on you.
Tony O'Kane,
yes.
It's time to say goodbye.
Aww.
That we're all gonna cry. We are all gonna cry.
He'll be back.
You will be back, of course. Yes, at
absolutely.
Some point soon, for sure. Lovely to have you on again.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you soon. Dan Garner, always a pleasure.
Oh, stop it. I'm welling up.
Oh,
no, I don't mean like that.
Oh,
I mean,
God. Thank you, boys. Thank you to all of our wonderful listeners. Of course, you can find our podcast at joy.org.au/Fenderbender. Next up is Technogaze with the wonderful Michael, who's been very, very, very helpful for us today. Thank you, Michael. Stay tuned to them, and my name is Tim Nicholson, signing off for Joy 94.9. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.